1-800-941-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Nicholas Coon edges closer to his Celtic exit as Mike Navrotsky looks set to leave on loan. Joe Rothwell reveals he could have joined Rangers 3 years ago. And Rory McKenzie has his Kilmarnock testimonial tonight against Ayr United. I'm Andrew McLean. Joining me in the studio is Hugh Keevans.
I get that feeling, Andrew, that we're not far away from that traditional moment here on Super Scoreboard. That transfer window torture suffered by the Celtic supporters. It's an annual event. It's like Christmas Day, Glasgow Fair Monday, and they'll be looking at what's not happening at Celtic while Rangers stockpile players. So I think it could get quite lively tonight.
Yeah, let's hear from you. 01419511025. A lot is happening. Nicholas Coon, as I say, edging closer to that move to Como, about £16 or £17 million, I think, set to have his medical at the start of next week. So Celtic fans, what do you make of that? Some news today that Mike Navrotsky looks as if he's leaving on a loan to buy deal to Hanover. I know there are some mixed opinions out there about Mike Navrotsky. We've certainly had some Celtic fans saying that he should have had more of an opportunity. Do you feel that way, or is this the right time for him to move on? 01419511025. Celtic are actually in friendly action tonight at 7:45 against Queen's Park. So we'll probably get the team news, I think, Hugh, around 6:30. So it'll be interesting to see if there are any players that Celtic fans particularly want to see get a run out tonight.
Yeah, or is it simply a bounce game? That nothing more serious than that. It's a fitness exercise for Brendan Rodgers players. But the transfer window gets more and more interesting. You know, Rangers have brought in Max Aarons, Joe Rothwell, Manny Fernandez, Theo Asgard is apparently on his way. Connor Cody, I'm sure, will be there in the fullness of time. Interesting buys from Russell Martin. And Celtic, if Nicholas Coon goes, in the space of 6 months, Celtic will have taken in £25 million on two players, Kyogo and Coon. Now, the Celtic supporters will soon arrive at the stage where they will not be asking if Celtic are bringing anyone in. They will be demanding that Celtic bring anyone in, because with the loss of Greg Taylor, I think the Celtic squad, and if Coon goes, of course, loss of Taylor, loss of Coon, I think the Celtic squad is significantly lighter than it was at the end of the season.
Well, Celtic fans, if you agree or disagree with Hugh, you can give us a call, 01419511025. Rangers fans, we're going to hear from Joe Rothwell, the new signing, because he's been speaking to the media for the first time today, so maybe you'll have some thoughts on what he has got to say. It also looks as if Nasser Diega is going to come in on loan from Wolves, a straight loan like the Max Aarons one. So what do you make of that? A couple of other things on the go today as well. Of course, Rangers are playing Club Bruges in a friendly on Sunday. Rory McKenzie has his testimonial tonight after, was it maybe 14 years after making his Kilmarnock debut, which is quite incredible. And also the news that James Penrice looks set to leave Hearts in a deal worth around £2 million to go to AEK Athens.
Good player, James Penrice. And when you look out the window at the weather today, you can see why Greg Taylor and James Penrice have hopped off to Greece.
You fancy going?
Too far from me. I'd miss Super Scoreboard.
I'm not sure the Greeks have a version of Super Scoreboard that quite lives up to this one for you.
No,
but we'll see. We'll see. Maybe we'll get a message in and someone will try and take you off our hands. 01419511025. Let's go straight to the phones. Andy is a Celtic fan in Stirling. Andy, what are you thinking tonight?
Hi, how are you doing? I'm just listening to the summary of the show there, or the build-up to the show. I think that Celtic fans should relax a wee bit. This board have steered us in the right direction 13 out of the last 14 seasons. So why would we doubt them? The fact is, we were sitting here a year ago and we heard a journalist from Austria telling us that Nicholas Coon, he was actually laughing at Celtic paying the money for Nicholas Coon, and we've debunked that. We're going to get £16.5 million quid for this guy. So I think the Celtic fans, we just have to relax a wee bit, because I think that this board know what they're doing, and there's no saying that while Rangers are stockpiling players, I don't think there's been a rush to sign any of the players by anyone else.
I think, Andy, the important thing, though, is that in football, comfort zones are dangerous. And you're perfectly correct. 13 of the last 14 titles have gone to Celtic. But Kuhn will undoubtedly go next week. Greg Taylor has gone. Kyogo went and was not replaced adequately. So Celtic have a squad that does need refurbishment before the season begins. Leave Rangers alone and the stockpiling of players. Focus on Celtic and Celtic alone. And Celtic undoubtedly need players in.
It's not as if Celtic haven't done anything so far. They have brought a few faces in. And the way that Andy's talking, Andy is quite calm. You know, Celtic don't always go out and do their business early. You look at it last season, it took a while for the money to be spent on Adam Ida. It took a while for the money to be spent on Austin Trusty. It took a while for the money to be spent on Arne Engels. But Celtic got those deals done and the players were there for the start of the season.
Yep.
Can fans just afford to be quite relaxed about it and just accept that, you know what, sometimes the deals don't need to be done on the first day of July?
I could put it to you, Andrew, that Celtic waited so long, then brought in Ida at three times what he's worth because it was so close to the end of the transfer window. I simply think, as I said at the start, minus Greg Taylor and minus Nicholas Kuhn, the squad is lighter than it was at the end of the season. And
it's not massively different, though. I know you say that there are changes, but it's not as if Celtic have lost, you know, a whole host of top players. The bulk of the squad that won a double, that got through the league phase of the Champions League, is still there.
Well, I'll try another one on you. From a financial perspective, if you take in the money from Nicholas Kuhn and add it to Kyogo's transfer fee, they've taken in £25 million. They can well afford to strengthen a squad who must play a Champions League qualifier before they access the riches available from that tournament. Kieran Tierney, welcome back with open arms from the Celtic supporters, but they need a backup fullback. Centre-back, you've got Cameron Carter-Vickers, and Trusty's been tried and found wanting. Scales been tried, found wanting. Celtic need to get in, and Navrotsky, I could argue with you that if Navrotsky can play Bundesliga with Hannover, he could play for Celtic, but he's going. So there's a vacancy beside Cameron Carter-Vickers, and up front, Callum Osmond is 19 years old. Daizen Maeda is a wide player playing the part of an impromptu striker and doing very, very well. But Celtic need a high-calibre striker.
Hannover are in the second division in Germany,
right?
Not in the top tier. Just to correct you, I know you're saying Bundesliga.
You're quite
football.
Right.
But Andy, you're saying you're quite comfortable. You know, Hugh's talking about the money that Celtic have brought in over the last, you know, 6-8 months. Are you quite comfortable that that money will get spent and it will get spent in the right time in the right areas?
Well, I think you have to go back to the board. The fact is, the reason that we've got that money sitting there is that the board have done things right previously. We've not got it there by accident. So you have to have your faith in the process. Bear in mind what everybody always has to remember at this time of the season is that Celtic board have Celtic's best interests at heart, and people have to have faith in them. You know, you can't keep questioning the board because, as I say, they've got it right 13 out of 14 of the last seasons.
And I repeat to you, though, comfort zones are dangerous. The board don't play on the pitch. The money is there. It is surely a logical step to reinvest £25 million or a large part of it. £25 million from two players. That's wonderful business by Celtic. But you have to recycle the money. You have to reinvest. You have to keep going forward.
Could it be that the deals, you know, the bigger deals, the ones that cost more money, just take a bit more time?
That may very well be the case. But, you know, as I say, it's an annual event, the transfer window, and it gets Celtic supporters in particular at it. And, I sometimes think there's no reason why it has to go to the last day every time out. You know, you have a recruitment department. You should have targets. If you do not realise one target, move on to the next, and then the next. But Celtic have a Champions League qualifier coming up. They played a cup final against Aberdeen, and I thought the cup final exposed weaknesses in the Celtic squad. They finished that match at Hampden with Yang and who was it up front? The Irish boy,
Johnny Kenny.
That's not good enough for Celtic. You can't finish up with Johnny Kenny and Yang in a cup final.
In terms of, you know, that money being spent, Kieran Tierney, albeit no fee there for Kieran Tierney, you know, a 5-year deal, he's not going to be on small wages.
No.
Kieran Tierney, that is a big, you know, commitment, isn't it, in terms of money?
But Kieran's wages aren't enough to say, well, therefore we have to cut back on transfers.
I'm not saying cutting back, but if you're saying they've not really spent much at all, I think that would be seen as a big commitment for Celtic. If you're getting a guy who's a Premier League quality player on a 5-year deal, then that's surely a big financial commitment from the club.
You entered into the commitment because you wanted Kieran Tierney back. Therefore, you have to pay the premium rate. But there is money there, and the Celtic squad does need strengthening.
Well, thank you to Andy, 01419511025 on the phones. Ian is a Rangers fan in Kings Park. Ian, what are you making of what's going on at your club at the moment?
Well, a couple of weeks ago, I was on the casting doubt on the current manager, and I'm afraid my views haven't changed. In fact, the more I see what he's done, the more I want him out the door.
Out the door already, Ian?
Yes, because his signings are has-beens, has-beens and never will-bees. And I said then Rangers will be out of everything by Christmas. We'll be out of the league, we'll be out of Europe, we'll be out of the League Cup, and I think we'll be lucky to make the top six this season.
Be lucky to make the top six, Ian. I think I actually remember you saying this previously when you came on. I mean, you look at the gap between Rangers and even third place last season. Surely there is no avenue where, you know, four, five teams then all of a sudden overtake Rangers. Even if you think Rangers aren't going to have a good season, surely there is no world that, you know, several other teams are not only going to catch up with Rangers but overtake them in that period of time this summer.
Well, considering the signs, considering we're going to grade our two best players in Gamy and Riskin and Dessers, that's three, and we'll be left with a load of rubbish.
Sorry. Right, even by my standards, you're extreme. I have to say, Ian, because, you know, there are no has-beens in there. Max Aarons and Joe Rothwell play to a very high standard. Aarons at Bournemouth, and Joe Rothwell has had back-to-back promotions with...
He also played the Southampton team that won the least round of games in the Premiership.
Yeah, but that's not down to him entirely. I really do think that you have to give them a chance and let them start the season. I listened to the Peterborough expert on the programme last night discussing Emmanuel Fernandez, and he was something short of confident in Fernandez, but we'll have to wait and see. Connor Cody, solid player if Rangers do get that one across the line. Asgard from Luton, who knows? But to say they won't finish in the top six, I'm very, very sorry, Ian. I speak as someone who's been way over the top in his time and got it badly wrong, but to say Rangers won't be in the top six is nonsense.
Well, you know a number. If Martin is still in the job at Christmas, which hopefully he won't be, you can contact me and name your favourite charity and I'll send a donation. There you are.
What's the donation going to be, Ian, if Rangers finish in the top six?
No, if Martin's still there at Christmas, I won't be. If he's away, if Martin's still there at Christmas, let me know and I'll send a cheque to donate your favourite charity.
The extent to which Rangers would have to fall not to finish in the top six, it's impossible. What Ian's saying is a nonsense. You know, we'll find out on Sunday which way the wind is blowing with regard to Russell Martin, the style of football, how it appeals to the Rangers fans, if any of the new signings take part in the game, we'll be able to assess them. But, as I say, even I would never, ever think of saying Rangers won't finish in the top six.
Well, thank you to Ian, 01419511025 on the phones. That was Ian's opinion about Russell Martin. Why don't we get the opinion from Joe Rothwell, who spoke to the media for the first time today. He spoke about Russell Martin because he played under him when he was at Southampton, and he says that he jumped at the chance to play for him again.
Just before I signed for Bournemouth, it was kind of a toss-up between the two, and yeah, obviously decided to go to Bournemouth at the time, but yeah, thankful that the offer came back around this time, and yeah, could have just jumped straight at it. Selfishly, I always had in my head, once when I left United as a kid, my plan was always to try and get back and play in the Premier League, so they gave me the opportunity to do that, and yeah, it was something that I couldn't turn down at the time. Obviously, leaving was never easy. I was there for, you know, 15-odd years, so having to leave was tough, but I knew it was the right thing to do for my own career, and as you say, the big drive for me was to get back there and obviously try and play for a massive club again, and I feel like this is a club that I can, you know, they are a huge club, so...
So that was actually Joe Rothwell talking about the fact that when he left Manchester United as a youngster, he always wanted to go back to the Premier League. That's why he decided 3 years ago, when he had the opportunity to go to Rangers, he went to Bournemouth instead, but is happy that he has the opportunity to be back at Ibrox. Here is him talking about Russell Martin.
Obviously, there was a little bit of interest there before the manager got the job, but as soon as I found out that he was getting it, you know, he gave me a phone call and I was like, yeah, I'll be straight there. I think he just sees the game how I would like to, if I was a manager, how I would like to play the game. So, yeah, that was the main pull, but I've said it before, it's more what he is as a guy that you want to come work for him, not just the stuff he does on the pitch. He's a possession-based manager. You know, from the outside, it looks like he's just playing pointless passes, but when you're actually inside it, you understand every pass that you make is kind of key. So, you know, as long as we understand that as a team and the lads buy into it, then I'm sure they'll fully enjoy playing that style of play. Off the pitch, he just treats everyone the same. You know, there's no one better than anyone else, and he's really good at bringing clubs back together and creating a fantastic bond. And I think, you know, if you want to win things, I think it starts off the pitch. And if we can get everyone, you know, off the field and with the staff all buying into the same thing, then I think he can create a really successful timer.
Well, any more thoughts on that or anything else we've touched on tonight? Or maybe you've got something else that you want to bring up. 01419511025. But we're going to play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Hugh, you are second bottom of the Summer League at the moment. And I tell you what, Gordon DL is catching you up pretty quickly. I think he's on 3 wins on the trot. He's still only on a 50% win rate.
Yeah.
But he's on 3 wins on the trot, so you need to get a win under your belt to try and pull away from Gordon DL. But maybe someone out there thinks they can beat you. 01419511025 on the phones, and you can play Hugh Keevans at Beat the Pundit next.
01419511025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans here with me, Andrew McLean, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. You can get involved. 01419511025. An interesting tweet from Celtic there, because they play Queen's Park in a friendly tonight. The team news, I think, is going to come out in about 4 minutes or so at 5:30. But they've tweeted out saying team news shortly. First, let's give a warm welcome to the newest boy with a Japan flag in there. So it looks as if they're about to...
Haito Inamura.
Yes, it looks as if they're about to announce a new central defender. I wonder if he'll maybe play any part tonight, maybe a bit too soon if he's not been in training at all. But Celtic fans, we'll keep you up to date on that. Any thoughts, give us a call. 01419511025. We'll bring you the team news when we get it. Rangers fans, any thoughts on what's going on at your club as well? Maybe you're a Kilmarnock fan that wants to talk about Rory McKenzie's testimonial tonight and look back on his Kilmarnock career as a whole. Or maybe Hearts fans want to talk about James Penrice's imminent exit for around £2 million. It's the same number, but let's play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Matthew from Giffnock is up. Matthew, have you played before?
No, it's first time.
What made you phone in tonight?
Just on the way back to the golf course and... just thought I'd give it a shot, see if I can beat Hugh.
How do you normally get on when you're playing along at home?
Usually alright. I feel like I've got decent knowledge, but we'll wait and see. It's on air.
That's it. Sometimes the pressure gets to folk, Hugh, doesn't it?
Matthew the masochist. Who plays golf on a day like this?
Yeah, that is a very good point, actually.
We made 16 holes and then called it.
To be fair, that is a very good effort. So, you know, he's got that mental fortitude now to battle through that. Maybe... Maybe that'll help him and beat the pundit. We'll see, right? We'll put some greatest hits radio in the ear of Hugh Keevans so he can't hear us. Matthew, it's 30 seconds on the clock to answer as many questions as you can. Remember, you can pass as well if that helps you out. How does that sound?
Okay, cool.
Let's do it. Name any of the US internationals currently playing for Celtic.
Carbackers.
How many teams will be in League 2 next season?
10.
How many Scottish Premiership teams are the only... Which Scottish Premiership side are the only with a castle on their badge?
Hibs.
Which Rangers signing is the only American to play at 4 World Cups?
Pass.
What year will Lauren Shanklin's new contract take him to?
2029.
How many teams has Stuart Kettlewell managed?
4.
James McFadden, Paul Lambert and Gary McAllister are linked by which club?
Everton.
Okay, we will bring Hugh Keevans back in. Hugh, can you hear us?
Loud and clear.
Let's go for it. Name any of the US international currently playing for Celtic.
Carter Vickers.
How many teams will be in League 2 next season?
10.
Which Scottish Premiership team are the only side with a castle on their badge?
Hearts.
Which Rangers signing is the only American to play at 4 World Cups?
Pass.
What year will Lauren Shanklin's new contract take him to?
28.
How many teams has Stuart Kettlewell managed?
3.
James McFadden, Paul Lambert and Gary McAllister are linked by which club?
Motherwell.
How do you think it went, Matthew?
Just realised that last one, Paul Lambert, didn't he play for Everton, I don't think.
Right, we will go through them. We will start with name any of the US internationals currently playing for Celtic. Nice and easy. You had one of two. You could have said Austin Trusty, but you both said Cameron Carter-Vickers, which is also correct. So one all. How many teams will be in League 2 next season? A nice easy one as well. It remains the same as it has been for a long, long time. Yeah. It is 10. You both got it. Two all. Which Scottish Premiership team are the only side with a castle on their badge? You both went for different sides of Edinburgh. Uh-huh. Hugh, you went for Hearts. Matthew went for Hibs. And Matthew got it right. 3-2. Which Rangers signing is the only American to play at 4 World Cups? Neither of you got this one. DeMarcus Beasley is the answer to that. So it remains 3-2. What year will Lauren Shanklin's new contract take him to at Hearts? Matthew said 2029. Hugh said 2028. It's a 3-year deal, so Hugh gets it. 28 is correct, so it's 3-all. How many teams has Stuart Kettlewell managed? Ross County, Motherwell, Kilmarnock. Hugh gets it, Matthew doesn't. It goes 4-3 to Hugh Keevans. You both got one more. James McFadden, Paul Lambert and Gary McAllister are linked by which club? Matthew said Everton, Hugh said Motherwell. 5-3 to Hugh Keevans. Unlucky, Matthew.
Fair play.
Yep, it's not been your day. 16 holes and out of here.
You know what, he's going to be soaked right through. So I think getting a 3 is not bad effort. Considering what he's put himself through today.
I enjoyed that game, Matthew.
Yeah, thank you very much, Stuart.
Unlucky, Matthew. Maybe try again when you're a bit drier. See if that helps your form. But yes, Matthew doesn't come away with a signed ball. But remember, we will be doing Beat the Pundit at the same time all next week as well. So
Matthew,
you can get
a Thistle fan.
Yes, he is a Thistle fan. Should we ask him about Mark Wilson?
And Alex Ray. Dynamic scoreboard duo.
Were you expecting when they were both announced that Hugh Keevans would be taking up some part of the backroom staff as well, Matthew?
Well, I think two is more than enough. We'll call it a day at Hugh.
Or God forbid, Gordon DL.
What? Right.
Decent. You kind of say his name it for him.
Yeah.
Yeah, after that interview that he did at one point where he didn't have too kind things to say about Thistle fans, but yeah, just sincerely though about sort of Mark and Alex going in there. Matthew, how are you feeling about this season ahead?
I think obviously Mark's quite maybe a little bit more inexperienced than Alex brings that into it, I guess. Just hoping that they can push on a wee bit.
You've had a season, you know, Matthew, you've had a time in which St Johnstone and Ross County are both going down into that division because of relegation. So it's a very tough championship. You've got Dunfermline under Neil Lennon, who I think will be strong. But I've texted both Mark and Alec to wish them all the very best. And
have they got back to you?
Yeah,
that's good.
The offer of tickets for me and the grandkids anytime I want to go to Firhill. So I've got the The number 17 bus ready to rev me along the road to Queen's Cross.
I was going to say, let's hope for Thistle fans' sake that he hasn't given Gordon DL the same offer, but we know that he wouldn't go along anyway.
No, he wouldn't. If they were playing in his back garden, he wouldn't open the curtains.
That's not even a Thistle thing. He just doesn't like going along to football.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Which isn't great for a guy that we employ to give us opinions about football. But he watches it on the TV. That's the main thing. Right. Thank you to Matthew. Make sure you phone in again. Celtic fans, I did tease that before. Beat the Pundit. That signing has been announced. Celtic have tweeted saying they're delighted to announce the signing of Hayato Inamura, who's joined the club on a four-year deal from Alberic's Niigata in the J-League in Japan. So he becomes the latest addition to Celtic's side. We sort of knew this one was coming. It's been floated for a while, but the 23-year-old defender comes in. Brendan Rodgers says, we're delighted to bring in Hayato to Celtic, looking forward to working with him. He's a young player full of promise and potential. I know he's delighted to be taking this next step in his career by joining us. We look forward to welcoming him into the squad. He'll wear the number 25 jersey.
Well, Brendan says promise and potential. Perhaps you might have thought they'd be looking for the finished article. However, Japanese players and Celtic, it's been a favourable combination. And again, like Emmanuel Fernandez at Rangers, we'll just have to see their state of readiness for this football, because Fernandez has at least been honest enough to say, I've never been at this level before. And Inamura can say the same thing. So let them both get in and see what they're made of.
John is a Celtic fan in Gourock. John, that is a new signing in the door in the last few minutes, given the fact that Celtic have dipped into that Japanese market and have found, you know, real success in it in the past. Is that one that excites you?
Yes, Andrew, it's you. It's the first time call, so nice to hear from you.
Good to hear from you.
It's a good signing, I hope. I haven't really seen much of the boy, but hopefully he'll be another good addition to the team. So I'd like to get a point anyway, just on the 25 million that you're talking about. I believe in most cases, at most, when they're buying players at the season, that there's a domino effect. I believe the bigger teams or the bigger leagues, we always wait until they buy somebody, they then release somebody, and then the lower teams then buy them and it moves on. And that's what I think Celtic are believing, especially now since the World Club football's on just now. They're keeping even the Waterford players to go for that competition, which is worth a lot of money. So I believe until that game's finished or that competition's finished, I think then that the domino effect will begin. I don't know what your thoughts are.
So you think that someone from Chelsea, for example, could be going to Celtic?
No, but it's not that. Is it not more the sort of like trickle-down effect that, you know, once, you know, clubs are busy at the moment. Some clubs are busy at the moment with the Club World Cup. Some English teams are still getting back into, you know, pre-season at the moment. Same with other clubs abroad. If they haven't started doing their business yet, once they start, the market just moves more. It's not sort of directly that Celtic will be buying players from Chelsea, but more that deals, the more deals that happen, the more moving parts there are, the more players there are available.
Well, only time will tell. John has a consummate faith in that being the case. Time will tell. As I say, it's an annual event. Transfer windows in Celtic, an annual event where the days go by, the weeks go by, and supporters eventually become irritated and agitated. It's a simple financial equation for me. Celtic have tens of millions of pounds in the bank. In the last 6 months, once Nicholas Kuhn's deal has been finalised, they have taken in £25 million from the sale of two players. They've lost Greg Taylor and they've now lost Nicholas Kuhn. Kyogo was not replaced adequately for me when he left in the January window. And Celtic do need a topping up. And they have the money. And I'll take John's point on board about moving parts and all the rest of it. But Celtic have the money to strengthen the squad, and the squad does need strengthened.
Where does that money need to be spent, John?
Well, I think at the moment, I personally believe this will be Brendan Rodgers last year, and he's going to win the Champions League. So I think he wants to leave, knowing that they've done a good job in there. So I believe he really needs to be strengthened pretty much all over the park. Defence right through midfield and up front. So I think he needs maybe three or four good, decent players to make that team good in Europe.
He only gets in the Champions League if he wins the qualifier. Therefore,
I get that, Hugh.
Therefore, you know, The team has to be strengthened before that qualifier.
Yes, I get that.
The qualifier isn't until after the first league week of the season, maybe a couple of weeks afterwards. So Celtic do have time. They've got a good few weeks before any of that happens.
Yeah,
to you.
Yeah.
But I understand that, you know, the earlier you get the players in, the better settled they'll be by the time that comes around.
I would put it simply. If Nicholas Kuhn goes to Como Monday, Tuesday, would any Celtic supporter put his hand up and say, I'm perfectly happy with the squad as it stands? Greg Taylor gone, Kuhn gone. Inamura, with the greatest respect, I don't think we'd be ready for a Champions League qualifier.
But for all that we know, Benjamin Nygren may well be, you know, up to speed, then Celtic may feel that he is an adequate replacement for Nicholas Kuhn, because you look at the money that Celtic spent on Nicholas Kuhn, it's not that far off what they spent on Benjamin Nygren. He may well be the player that, you know, Brendan Rodgers and Celtic's analytics team have looked at and thought, you know what, this guy could be the replacement, getting him on a cut price deal because he had 6 months left in his contract. Is there a train of thought that he maybe could be the Kuhn replacement?
Well, fine, we'll need to have a look at him and find out. But backup for Kieran Tierney, partner for Cameron Carter-Vickers, and someone of calibre for the striker's role, because you're asking Daizen Maeda to replicate what was a fantastic season for him. And for me, you need better backup than Adam Maeda.
Well, thank you to John. 01419511025. Still time to get your calls in. That Celtic team for the game against Queen's Park tonight has dropped. Ross Doohan is in goal. It's then Colby Donovan, Dane Murray, Austin Trusty and Mitchell Frame, Callum McGregor, Arne Engels and Luke McCowan, Jude Bonner, Adam Montgomery and Johnny Kenny. On the bench, it's Oluwayemi, Clark, Summers, McPherson, Robertson, Ewer, McArdle, Hatton, Turley, Welsh, Kyle, Izaguzo and Daly. So a lot of youth in there, but also,
very,
you know, mixed
midfield
in with experience. You know, McGregor, Engels, McCowan. Cal McGregor just doesn't miss any games, does he? But there is still, you know, Engels and McCowan both in there. Austin Trusty starting as well.
If you played McCowan, Engels and McGregor in the first game of the season, no one would bat an eyelid. So it's a very strong midfield. I like to see the younger element getting, you know, Dane Murray, again, another central defender. I believe Brendan Rodgers has great hopes for Dane Murray. So you have to see how that turns out. On the bench, Francis Turley. Celtic, you know, have had an awful lot. Jude Bonner.
And I think basically a lot of the players that were on international duty are given a bit extra time, so aren't quite up to speed. So that's why the likes of, you know, Callum McGregor and Arne Engels, Luke McCowan are able to just come in and start in this game.
But it must be frustrating for Celtic to bring up players like Daniel Cummings and he goes off to West Ham and they have to bring in a player from Fulham's academy. You know, we know all about the Rocco Vattas and Daniel Kellys who have gone off. Very frustrating for Celtic because they put in a lot of work at the academy, and young men today, for them, English clubs represent the Holy Grail.
Well, Celtic fans, any thoughts on that lineup? Give us a call, 01419511025. Something else I wanted to touch on before we go to a break, Hugh. Today was the funeral of Lisbon Lions Celtic legend John Clark. I know you attended it. Hundreds of Celtic fans turned up in the rain to see his funeral cortege pass Celtic Park as well today.
Let me say, it was a beautiful service in St Mary's near Celtic Park, and John was given a fitting farewell. The owner of the club, Dermot Desmond, was there. The chairman, Peter Lawwell. The chief exec, Michael Nicholson. Brendan Rodgers there, along with the likes of Trusty, Arne Engels, Callum McGregor. And big names from the past at Celtic. Roy Keane, Ian Wright, Neil Lennon. So it was a fitting send-off for one of the truly great Celtic men, John Clark.
Yeah, fitting send off it was. Any thoughts on anything after the break? 01419511025.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. You can get your calls in 0141 951 1025. What I should have mentioned when Matthew, who came on to play Beat the Pundit and he just finished his round of golf, is that this might interest Matthew or some of you keen golfers out there, because how do you fancy a round of golf and meeting the Super Scoreboard team? You can join the likes of Gordon Duncan, Gordon DL and more at our Cash for Kids Big Scottish Golf Day. It's happening on Friday the 15th of August at the Carrick at Cameron House, with a live Q&A, a barbecue and a quiz after your four ball as well. If you want to get involved, if you're interested, email westscotland@cashforkids.org.uk, or you can check out our socials as well. Hopefully it's not a day like this.
Well, I notice you've planned it for a Friday, which means I'll be in here, so you're excluding me from...
It's during the day, though. That's fine. You can make your way. It's not too far away.
It's the day after my wedding anniversary, so I don't think I'll be in any...
I'll be honest with you, this just sounds like you're coming up with a host of excuses so that you don't need to go.
Yeah, I'll sit here in case I get the cold.
Well, say maybe. Hugh Keevans might be there. Maybe that'll tempt some people
caddy.
To go. And we won't commit to you going, because that might... Some people might not want to go because of that. So you can decide in your head. Hugh Keevans may or may not be there, but there will be a good lot of the Super Scoreboard team there. So make sure to get involved in that. Right, let's go and speak to Frankie, who's a Celtic fan in Lanark. Frankie, what are you thinking tonight?
Hi there, how are you?
All good, yourself?
Ah, no bad. It was early on when Hugh was talking about Celtic been weaker. That's a big statement, but if you look at the two guys that's coming in, we'll get Tierney, who's head and shoulders above Robertson, in my mind anyway. It's best to, as I just see him, I watch Man City, I watch all these other, I think, why would you just not take him? Granted, he's had injury problems. I have a funny feeling this year, I'm a little bit wrong, but I have a funny feeling this year that Tierney will very, very rarely be at the team. I think he'll be there. I think he'll be a big player this year. I think we might change slightly because of Tierney coming into the team. Because you know what he likes to overload on the left-hand side, the left side of the ball in, little winger. So there's that. And I've been looking at the boy. Well, we all say the boy, didn't we? The Swedish guy. And
Benjamin
Nygren. I know they look great in the... But I did the other day, and I watched just to see what he's like. And I'll tell you what, he'll be far better than Nicholas Kuhn.
Well,
strange. When I jump in.
No, I'll take your word for it, Frankie, because I haven't clapped eyes on Benjamin Nygren. But my basic point is simply this. When you lose Greg Taylor and Nicholas Kuhn, you need to top up the squad.
I know you're talking about, you know, Celtic being weaker at left back with Greg Taylor and Jeff Shupp leaving, but Kieran Tierney coming in, surely he is an upgrade on both of them. And I know you're talking about the numbers game. Celtic do need a backup left back. Everyone knows that. But surely Kieran Tierney is a step up from both of them. A fully fit Kieran Tierney is already an upgrade on what Celtic had in that area. So if Celtic then get a backup, surely they're then stronger in that area.
In general terms, Brendan Rodgers... It may or may not be his last season in charge of the club, but Brendan Rodgers deserves to have money released to bring in players of a high standard to work with prior to the Champions League qualifier. Celtic as a club have run their business magnificently well. Of that, there is absolutely no doubt. But the money is there, and supporters expect, and rightly so, to have that money invested in the team. You don't have to go mad. You don't have to take £100 million and throw it at the team. However, the supporters deserve to have money used for the betterment of the team. And right now, Celtic are in a position where they have plenty of money and the fans are waiting for it to be used in a almost dramatic fashion. Looking for big signings. Yeah. They have to be reactive. Rangers will get a new manager. It won't be Philippe Clement. It won't be home defeats against Queen's Park. I very much doubt it. Celtic have to be.
What gives you the confidence proactive? That it will change from a Rangers perspective, that it won't be, you know, those home defeats? To what have you seen from Russell Martin or the players that have been brought in that you feel there's a more positive?
I think if you get Max Aarons from the English Premier League, Joe Rothwell, English Premier League, Conor Cody, English Premier League, I think there's an overall look of strength about that. Russell Martin got promoted with Southampton, and thereafter it was awful. But he'll be starting, looking to make a big impression on Rangers. But leaving Rangers aside, Celtic, a fantastically well-run business, as I said earlier, comfort zones are dangerous, and Brendan Rodgers doesn't want anything to do with comfort zones. The money's there. The obvious places where refreshments are needed are there. So Celtic should be spending money within this transfer window, significant money.
Frankie, just given the way that Celtic have operated over the years, Hugh saying that they've done it very well, does that relax you in that you feel that Celtic will spend the money, they'll spend it in the right areas, and the squad will be, you know, ready and raring to go and improved and refreshed ahead of the new season?
You just cannot, you know, wait for the season's finished. You've got an idea of the players you're linked with. Celtic, and Hugh's right about the money side of it, I think they'll go out and they'll spend that again, another 20, 25, three players. They'll be starters.
That's the whole point. That's the whole point, Frankie. Aye, you know, exactly. I mean, Inamura is not going to be a starter. Nygren will be a starter.
He might be.
I think he will be.
Yeah. Oh, you said he will be. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Callum Osmond, I don't think, will be a starter.
Mm-hmm.
19 years old. Ross Doohan will be the third choice goalkeeper. But for me, there's a very obvious vacancy up front for a good quality striker, and there's a very obvious vacancy for a good quality centre back beside Carter Vickers. Navrotsky's on his way. Lager Bielka is clearly never going to make it at Celtic, and there's a vacancy there, and Celtic shouldn't be starting the season with vacancies. The vacancies should be filled.
Is it a vacancy up front? Because Daizen Maeda played through the middle second half of last season, yeah. Was player of the year. Would you not expect him to start through the middle? Possibly that then means the vacancy is on the left hand side because Jota is injured. But
Daizen Maeda was outstanding for Celtic. That's why he's player of the year. But you're asking him to replicate that. That may or may not happen. But there is room for a top quality striker to come in there and give Brendan Rodgers greater scope.
Well, thank you to Frankie. Thank you to Hugh Keevans in the studio as well. That is all we've got time for tonight. But thank you for getting involved across the week. Celtic, of course, play Queen's Park tonight. Rangers have that friendly against Club Bruges on Sunday. So we'll be back on Monday night. We'll be reflecting on that action. Really the first action that both sets of fans will have seen from the teams this season. So I'm sure there will be plenty of talking points. But as always, on a Friday, it is the perfect way to start your weekend. I'm sure this will cheer some of you up with that weather outside. It's the GBX coming up.